The Taxi Dance Hall is a relic of an earlier time, a place where lonely men could enjoy a woman's company for a few moments for a small price. In wartime, it filled that function for thousands of GIs who were just passing through at ports of call around the world. The short film The Last Taxi Dance is a period piece set in Second World War era Honolulu, in which a brief and casual encounter at a taxi dance hall becomes something much more. Braden Yoder is its director, and he's with us in our studio. Good morning, Braden.
Good morning, Chris.
What was the germ of your idea for this film?
Well, first, thanks for having me, and I'm a big fan of the show, and we're really excited to be able to bring it out to the community and tell people about it. The germ was about connection, mm-hmm. really, and I started writing it in the December 2015, just as all the sort of presidential election was heating up, and all of the sort of vitriol and the sort of polarization led me to look for a story about connection that we could tell from our history that could be applied to today's times.
Well, let's talk about how a connection was made in a taxi dance hall, because we don't have anything like this anymore. And in some ways, they seem sort of decadent, and in other ways, they seem sort of innocent, don't they?
I think I'd go more towards the innocent side, yeah. I mean, it was something about our history that I'd never known about. And several years ago, I was working on a different historical fiction project, and I came across these things where for 10 cents a dance, a man could dance with a woman, and she would stay with him as long as he had tickets. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, she would taxi from one to the next. It's just an interesting social ritual, a space that I'd never heard of before, and that idea was planted and eventually led to this story.
Women who needed a little extra money, men who needed wanted or needed company.
Yeah, well, it actually started during the plantation era, mm-hmm. before the war, when workers who had come over from Asia without wives would come into the city to have that connection and dance with women. Mm-hmm. And many of the ones who did work as taxi dancers had jobs during the daytime as teachers or working at the cannery. So this was their chance to kind of wear a dress and get glammed up and go out and have a good time in a pretty innocent way.
The innocence of the setup leads in the story of your film into something a little more I don't want to say darker, but it gets political.
It does get political. I think that's a good way to put it, because our protagonist is a Native Hawaiian woman who is a singer in the taxi dance hall, and she performs for the GIs, but has very mixed feelings about all the demographic changes happening in Honolulu. And after the lights have come on and everybody's left, she's visited by a lone soldier who's returned looking for something. And in their last taxi dance, and in their dialogue, it does get heated. We're kind of hiding it in this nice sort of painterly period piece, but there's some hard-hitting ideas there that eventually lead to them learning how to connect and see each other as people.
Justin, you reminded me of this when you talked about hiding ideas within a period piece. Let's hear a little bit of a song that you hear at the opening of the movie, Kalakaua After Hours.
Kalakaua after hours, lipstick lady in the night. See the shadow at her shoulders, fancy man stays out of sight. Mountain liners bring the tourists $1 million every time.
Somehow putting that message, and the lyrics here are by Gavin Dawes, right?
That's correct. By Gavin Dawes, and Stephen Inglis co-wrote it with him.
By framing it in that sort of happy hapa-haole style, it kind of has a subversive quality, right? As the song goes on, it becomes a little bit, you know, refers to some of the sort of the darker aspects of nightlife, right?
It does, and she's singing about vice and some of the changes that are happening that she's not entirely happy with. And the song is performed, sung by Danielle Zalapany, who is our protagonist, actually. She's mm-hmm. she's a singer as well as an actor, and did a fantastic job with it. And we got to work with some fantastic talents on this. We had a heck of a time making this movie.
One of the things that's subversive about it is that you don't expect a performer in a pretty dress with a flower in her hair to be that political and that angry.
Very true. And again, once the lights have come on and the space has changed, now it's the same space, but the lights are on, she takes on a different persona. In fact, she takes on several different personas throughout this whole thing, and she gets to showcase the range of her talent. She's a fantastic actor, and we couldn't be happier with her performance in the film.
As the lights come on, and it's now we're after hours, in the wee hours of the morning, and up comes a GI with, what, one last dance ticket?
He has eight, but yeah.
But it's the idea of a fleeting encounter between strangers.
It is. It is. And she's not entirely happy with him coming back. She sees him more as an occupier and as an invader. And that's when it gets political and gets confrontational.
Does he see himself in that way at all?
No, he doesn't.
And is he surprised by this?
He is. And the journey of the film is really reflected in the journey of the songs from that kind of Hoppaholly number that we had composed for the film, with that subversive sort of message, ending with a Hawaiian traditional Kolana Napua, which is itself subversive in its own way from the 1890s. And the journey of understanding between the two characters is the journey through the music.
And a song can be a very effective way of getting a message across because the music draws you in. And then the lyrics sort of hit you later most of the time with songs, don't they?
Absolutely right. This is more like a symphonic suite with the different songs that we have moving through different moods and having some great musicians to work with. Alan Akaka, Jeff Peterson, Star Kalahiki does a fantastic job with the last song. We're very happy with all the talents involved.
Where does this journey, this political journey, this encounter between two people take us?
It ends with them learning to see each other as people and not as stereotypes. And I'll leave it at that, but we hope people will come and see the film.
But both he and she have a transformation?
They do. You know, it's a bit of a ho'oponopono and learning how to recognize the trauma in other people by recognizing the faults in yourself and learning to bridge those gaps between two people.
So the singer, in spite of the intensity of her feelings, is not completely intransigent. She's willing to learn.
They both are.
Which probably makes them more interesting as characters, right? That's the difference between a character and a caricature, almost.
Oh, that's well said, definitely. And I think that's what we hope makes it relevant as a historical parable to today's times.
Well, thanks very much for coming in. It really sounds interesting. I look forward to seeing it.
Hope to have you there, Chris.
Braden Yoder is the director of The Last Taxi Dance, which will be screened as part of the Ohina Short Film Showcase on Friday, September 7th. And there will be a premier benefit screening at the Hawaii Theater on August 23rd. We'll keep you posted about that, and you can get details on our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.